Hello, welcome to Have Roots, We'll Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin Stoltore, and I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. Over the last year, I've been doing videos on les filles du roi, the king's daughters. To me, they're the founding mothers of Quebec and North America, and I intend on profiling all of them. I'm on episode number 106, getting there. There's over 700 of them. Come share with me. Just want to let you know that if you're looking for the previous episodes, they're listed and the links are there on my website, Have Roots Will Travel. And also they are also contained on my Facebook page. Please don't forget to subscribe if that's something you'd like to do, or click on the notifications alert to get notified when I post new content. Let's get started. So number 106, her name is Perrette Vallée. We're going to know Perrette a little bit in a minute. Let's get to, this was actually a viewer request, and it's fascinating because it turned into a two-parter. So this is part one of the story of Perrette and what keeps going on, all right? Come share with me. So Perrette was born in 1644 in the commune, the township of Chalon-sur-Marne, which is now known as Chalon-en-Champagne. The name was changed in 1998. Can you believe it? Chalon-en-Champagne is found in the department of Marne. It is indeed the capital of Marne, and you can see that Marne is found in the Grand Est region. The Champagne vineyards that produce that wine are found here. She was baptized in the Saint Antoine Church in the parish of Saint-Sulpice. On the second picture to on the top is that her church. And then we have two pictures from just recent. I mean, look how beautiful this place is. It's just amazing. So this is where Perrette would have come from. I wonder if her parents were farmers. I have no idea. But we do know that their names are Nicolas Vallée and Madeleine Major. Let's find out how she makes her way to the New World. At about age 20, she arrived in Quebec on June 18, 1665, on the Saint-Jean-Baptiste de Dieppe. I do not know if her parents were living. She does not seem to have a dowry, so that tells me that she might have been an orphan with, no real means. So let's have a look at what happens to her. So, but the groom that she selects and who selects her, his name was Jean Bourassa, and he was born in 1634 in a place called Bazoges-en-Vallier. His parents' names were Jacques Bourassa and Françoise Fouchard. Just to give you an idea of where he's born in Pays de la Loire region, and he is from the Vendée region, department, if you will, and his little town is Bazoges-en-Vallier. It's a relatively small place, and he was baptized at a place called Sacré-Cœur, which is this church right here. I'm sure it's been remodeled since that time. And this is Bazoges-en-Vallier as it exists right now. It looks lovely. This is where Jean came from. So Jean arrived in New France quite early, April 10th, 1657, on the ship Les Almes d'Amsterdam. He would, do his period of apprentissage, engagé, hired hand, and he would then choose to remain in New France, and he leased 5 acres of land in 1662 in front of the manor of Lauzon during that year. And so that began his whole history of owning things, which we'll explore in a bit. So on October 20th, 1665, Perrette Vallée and Jean Bourassa were married in Quebec City. That is their copy of their marriage record. So they begin their new life. So remember I told you that that's where he leased his first land? Well, that's where they settled. Lauzon, the history of Lauzon, had been settled back in 1636 by a man, obviously named Lauzon, who was basically an absentee seigneur. His son, Jean de Lauzon, would eventually take it over in 1651 and have it for about 10 years. And their third son, Charles de Lauzon, which I'm assuming is the guy that had the manor that he leased his, that Jean Bourassa leased the land in front of, he would actually have it for another 30 years. It's during his tenure that Lauzon grew and became a true place to create a home. These maps are amazing in terms of how the seigneury was laid out. One of the principal people who founded this place, his name was Guillaume Couture, which of course is not our protagonist of our story, but it's such an interesting story. And for those of you who may have this in your ancestry, he was the true founder of Lauzon, as he was the first inhabitant. He was originally a Jesuit priest. He was an extraordinary man who at one point in his life said, I need to leave the priesthood. And he was working with the Indians, doing so many things. He had quite a number of jobs as a priest, but decided he wanted to settle down and marry, which he did. The story of Lauzon would not be what it is without this man. And knowing that he was there when so many, when our people were there, makes it even more special to me. Some of the founding families include names, of course, like Couture, Yé, Samson, Béguin, Carrier, Demare, Bourassa, and Nemieux. So you can count Bourassa as being among those pioneers. So just really amazing. Another thing I want to make, tell by any other name, when I began doing the research for Lauzon, every time, it's just incredible how many names it went through. So it was Cap de Lévis, Côte de Lauzon, Saint-Joseph de Pointe-Lévis, Saint-Joseph de Lévis, Pointe-Lévis, Pointe-Lévis. The last probably being the English point, the English translation of it. But so be alert that it could have many different names. So the family would begin to grow. We would have François, born in 1667. We have no other information. Pierre, 1669. Jeanne, 1670. Jean, we do know that he married Françoise Métaux and had 10 children, and all of whom made it to adulthood. And then we have Marie, we do not know. Marie-Madeleine would marry Jean-François Dussault and have 12 children, 6 of whom made it. And then finally we have Catherine. So there's a lot of mystery surrounding the children, which I assume meant that they died in infancy. But one never knows. This is a truly tragic story because Perrette would die on the 5th of May, 1676, in childbirth. The child would also die. She was only 32 years old. She and Jean would have been married a mere 11 years. Despite her early death, she and Jean would, by 1729, produce 38 descendants, which my viewer is descended from. So her life made a difference. So we have we have her death record, we have where she is buried, and so let's have a look at what happens next. Story for what happened to Jean and the children. Stay tuned in episode 107. We continue the saga of Jean Bourassa, now a widower with 7 children. Before I let you go, let us review some of the resources. La Société des Filles du Roi, the genealogy lineage society that I belong to and am a member of. Love that society, of course. And then I'm also a member of the Quebec Genealogical E-Society. Fabulous resources and a good way to connect with people who are doing Quebec research. Number 3 is Nos Origines, and FreeSite. Amazing website to contribute to and share information with. Genealogie Quebec is a paid website. To me, it's the ancestry.com of Quebec. Absolutely need this to do what I do. 5 is Migration, which is really focused on the Filles du Roi and all of that, in, you know, the Carignan soldiers and all that. It is a free site, but I donate to it because I do, because I just, I think they're amazing what they're doing. And then we have the Facebook site, Filles du Roi Descendants, which is an amazing website, an amazing Facebook group. Very kind, very loving, and very generous souls on that. So I would absolutely point you in that direction. You'll find all the links in the notes section. And so we end episode 106 with a tragically early death of Perrette, but her legacy continues. with 38 descendants, of which my viewer is one, and the fact that the Bourassa name and all of that, as we will explore in episode number 107, continues. But this is the fate of so many of these women who, you know, obviously it was a very difficult time to be a woman in New France, and for her contribution, for her sacrifice, for all that she went through, we thank her, we bless her memory, and we will honor her by continuing to recognize her as one of the filles du roi who literally gave her life so that we could continue. So with that being said, I will see you on episode number 107, and we will look at the next part two of this saga. Until then, au revoir.